White Rocket Entertainment.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 363.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network, and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family via Patreon.com. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Bringer.
John, how was your bye week?
It was nice. I enjoyed it. Beautiful fall weather. Nice not to have to stress out or be upset after a football game. Just enjoy college football for, you know, what it was. And
a low-stress weekend.
Yeah. I went and saw the Virginia Tech Georgia Tech game in person Thursday night.
How did that go?
You know what? It's a fun place to see a game. I recommend it. But when you're playing a triple option team, like a wishbone team like Georgia Tech is, and you can't stop them, it really does something to the crowd. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's like they knew in the second quarter, that crowd knew, like, we can't stop them. And they ended up stopping them once in the first half, and Georgia Tech punted, and they fumbled the punt, and Georgia Tech got it back. And that was literally just like this air when I had the stadium, like, like that was, they knew that was the only time they were going to stop them. And unless you score every time, you know, and then they get the ball back, and it's 8 or 9 minutes. And it was, you know, that part was tough.
So Georgia Tech won?
They did win.
Did they score every time they had the ball?
Almost, yeah. No, it was like 49-21.
Oh, wow.
And at the time the fumble punt snap happened, Virginia Tech, I think, was winning like 21-14. And they had scored every time they touched the ball, but they couldn't keep it up. So,
you know, in other ACC action, and thank you for joining us here on ACC Corner. we were in Red Robin, and the game they had on there was Boston College and Miami, and I was watching that Boston College offense just taking it to Miami, just rolling up and down the field, just putting it on Miami, and I kid you not, John, I'm sitting there thinking, man. I actually said it out loud to my family. I said, man, I never thought I'd see the day that I said I wish that we had an offense as prolific as this Boston College offense. And as soon as I said that, that's funny enough, but it only gets worse. It turns into a horror movie. Because as soon as I said I wish that we had an offense as prolific as this Boston College offense, who did they put up on the screen, John? But the Boston College offensive coordinator, do you know who that is?
Scott Leffler.
It is our old friend Scott. I didn't know he wasn't still at Virginia Tech. Wasn't he there after we ditched him?
That did not last long. The new coach was not going to keep him.
No. So he had him cranking up there, just rolling over Mark Richton, Miami.
Wow. After 15 years of failure, finally the guy learned something and does something. So
I guess maybe he had, you know, obviously much better talent than what he had to work with in the SEC. You know, clearly that was always the problem, was, you know, he just didn't have the right level of talent down in the SEC. He had to go up to Boston to find the right level of college football talent to work with. But, well, anyway, yeah, it was a very nice weekend. It was a nice racing weekend because we had the not the last Formula One race of the year, but we had the one that basically decided the championship, because now it's mathematically impossible for anybody to beat Lewis Hamilton. And it was a lot of fun because the driver I root for is Max Verstappen, the young Dutch driver, and he won, you know, in a third level car basically after the top two. So So it was a lot of fun. If you guys aren't watching Formula One or IndyCar, those are both just fantastic series to watch now, and I can't recommend. And it also, I had just put Verstappen, you'll appreciate this, John, on my fantasy team, and he went out and won the race, and so I pulled back into first place over Mira in our league, where our other two, our patrons, are in third and fourth. So it was a good fantasy league, a good fantasy Formula One league. How are you not in the fantasy Formula One league, John?
I don't know anything about it. I would be picking random names.
I assumed it was just an oversight on your part, and you're going to rectify that in the near future. So we'll be looking for your entry.
Okay.
Scuderia Toro Ringer. I like it.
Okay.
Well, we've got a big interview tonight, a pretty fun interview coming up. We'll get into that about halfway through the show. But otherwise, tonight, we're just going to kind of talk about the Texas A&M game, what to look forward to, and do our usual look around the SEC and so forth. So, what did you make of Texas A&M Mississippi State on Saturday?
I had seen Texas A&M play, you know, some before, but I watched almost all of that game Saturday night. And Texas A&M is like, you know, if you were asked to build a team in like the old NCAA video game and you had so many points to allocate across things,
yeah.
Texas A&M is like the team you would get if you put almost all the points like to five. So you have basically you're just good across the board. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they have like two areas where they're above that. But otherwise, they're like this kind of basic competent team. They're good at everything, but they're only really good in two areas, and that's like stopping the run and punting. That's everything else. They're kind of like they're okay. They're not terrible at anything, but they're not great at anything either. Do you know what I'm saying?
They're like the fighting competency.
Yes, and like a lot of other teams have kind of huge strengths and huge weaknesses, like Mississippi State.
Right,
huge strengths and huge weaknesses, but A&M's kind of just like average. They're good, competent, but they're not amazing in any one area.
Their new battle cry is meh.
So that was my initial thought. The biggest thing for me watching that game is Mississippi State's, you know, defense really shut down their run and forced Kellen Mond to pass, and that didn't go very well. They put a lot of, you know, Mond is kind of the opposite of our quarterback in that he likes to stand in the pocket and hold the ball a long time and wait for things to develop, and he's in no hurry. Like, he wants to wait till the last possible second to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And it gets – and their offensive line's not – again, their offensive line's good. It's average. It's solid. And so against a lot of teams, that's fine. But Mississippi State's defense is excellent, and so they beat the crud out of him Saturday night. Like they hit him a lot.
Looked like he got sacked quite often from what I saw.
He did, and it was because he wants to hold the ball and wait. I think their receivers, again, are okay, but they're not world beaters or anything. So they don't have a – I mean, they really missed that Christian Kirk guy who's going to the NFL. And they don't have anybody like him or like some of the other receivers, Mike Evans or those kind of guys who – you know, that you're just scared to death of don't let that guy get the ball in his hands.
Right.
The biggest thing to me, thinking about this game from a fan perspective, is that we get a chance Saturday to get revenge against Jimbo Fisher.
Oh, yes. Oh.
And oh, it's the worst one. This is a big one. You hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you, honey.
And so I think this is how Auburn fans need to approach this game, is that we haven't gotten to play Florida State, you know, since then.
Right.
And we're now going to get a shot every single year to pay back Jimbo Fisher for that 2013 title game. And we need to take advantage of it.
We do.
We need to make his life as miserable as humanly possible and make them regret giving him that gigantic contract. And we need to take the opportunity Saturday to mercilessly yell at him and scream at him and cause his team all kinds of problems with a home crowd. That's the way I look at the – yeah, we want to win. We want Auburn to win. You know, we want to beat Texas A&M. We need the win and all that kind of stuff. But this is also like the other – story here for me is that this is our shot against Jimbo. And I think that should, even if it's, even though it's an 11 a.m. kickoff.
Oh, at home. 11 a.m. Yeah, at home.
Yeah, that, even though it is, we've had the off week, and I think the Jimbo thing should help the fans be up and ready for the game. That's a big thing. I think, you know, again, their run defense is really good. So
yeah.
I think our offensive line having 2 weeks to get healthy and Whitlow having 2 weeks to get healthy, he left the Ole Miss game, and we don't know, you know, for sure his status.
Right.
But assuming that he's healthy and 100% and the offensive line is healthy and 100%, they're up for a big challenge running the ball on A&M. And so I really think Stidham's going to have to complete some good passes to win the game. We can't just line up and run the ball and Stidham have a bad day. He's going to have to throw the ball some. But I think he can. And I think hopefully they've worked on the, you know, I mean, you know, they have worked on the bye week about what are we good at, what are we not good at, kind of chucking the stuff we're not good at out of the plan. I mean, let me ask you this question. You've seen Auburn play a lot this season. If you were a defensive coordinator preparing for Auburn, what is like the one or two things you would try to stop Auburn's offense from doing?
Well, you got to feel like you could stop the run. I mean, and I agree that I think that our running game can only be better than it would have been immediately a week after Ole Miss. You know, like you say, I mean, having a week of rest and getting healthy has got to help. It couldn't get any worse in terms of injury and just, you know, that's got to be a positive. But yeah, if I were Texas A&M's defense, the one thing, I mean, you got to believe that you can, just like every team has done this year, pretty much, you can stop the run and then pressure Stidham into making a mistake. It's why change that formula? It works every week.
So you would just bring the heat up, you know, focus on stopping the run, but keep bringing pressure in the backfield the whole time, either to disrupt the run or get Stidham.
Yeah, I mean, he might complete two or three long passes, but that's going to be it.
So I think Auburn has to be prepared for that. I think, to me, the Ole Miss game, remember, was like, that's the first game we really committed to Whitlow being the guy.
Yeah.
And we kind of rearranged the running back depth chart order. We're kind of, he's number one and Shivers is number two, and gave the two of them, you know, 95%, 99% of the carries and while the game was in doubt. So I think, you know, that having Whitlow healthy and being the main guy gives the running attack a different dimension.
Yeah. If he's healthy.
Yeah. No, it's big. It's a big question.
And he's been banged up all year in different ways. So because he's been getting so much work, I think.
Yep.
And they're out to be very physical on our running game. So
if they do that, I do think we could go back to, you know, I mean, again, I think Schwartz, you know, and Seth Williams having a big day, go back to them again and again if they're focused on stopping the run, and especially if they're doing what Ole Miss did and trying to, I mean, Ole Miss, at the detriment of the run, they tried to take, you know, Ryan Davis out.
Yes.
And so maybe A&M doesn't focus on that so much. And if they don't, maybe we bring that back into the game more, getting Ryan Davis involved, because he really is Stidham's security blanket, and that'll help him.
He hasn't been this season. He's supposed to be, but he hasn't been. The thing that concerned me watching the Mississippi State Texas A&M game was that we struggled with our great defense. We struggled so much to stop Mississippi State's quarterback from running the ball right up the middle on us. And until the fourth quarter, he didn't have like 37 yards on Texas A&M. He had that one long run late, and that was when they were in basically a stop the fourth and one type. You know, it's one of those things where they all are up on the line, and he busts through and goes. But, you know, you take away that one play, and he had like 35 yards of rushing on them. So I am definitely concerned that, yeah, we're going to have to be able to throw the ball. There's just no doubt about it. We're going to have to be able to throw the ball.
We are.
Because our running game is not going to beat them.
No. So I think there's a pressure on Stidham. There's a pressure on the receivers. They got to make plays. They have to catch the ball and make plays when it's there. And we have to not be, you know, predictable with the receivers and the routes that we're using against them.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to light us up offensively. I feel like our defense can put pressure on Mond as well. I feel like this has got the makings of like a 24-17 type game. I'm afraid we're going to be the 17, but we'll see. I mean,
I was going to say 24-20, and I think that's a good number. A good number as you were on there. But I think after watching them Saturday night, I think at home we can beat this team. Yeah, I really do.
But the thing is, it's the streak.
I know.
Is this really the Auburn team that can break that streak?
I think we can. It's
still amazing to me that the 2014 team lost in Auburn to them, and the 2015 team went to freaking College Station and won. Those two things just don't square. But yet they did.
The 14 was fluky.
It was. It was butt snap fluky.
In terms of their offense, we talked about Mond a lot of this podcast because at one point we were recruiting him. He's not bad. He's a little better than I thought he was going to be. They still got that good running back. Williams has caused us a bunch of problems. They have that tight end that they talk way too much on the podcast about, but on the TV broadcast about the other night. But he really is their best guy. And he's a lot like – there was a guy at Ole Miss last year, the year before, Evan Engram, who was like a big wide receiver, tight end kind of guy. He's a lot like him.
Yeah, yeah.
So kind of a matchup problem.
It's a different A&M team than we're used to playing in a lot of ways, from Jimbo all the way down. And it's just kind of hard to get a sense of what it's going to be like. Of course, it was always hard to get a sense of them, even with Sumlin, because they'd either be a juggernaut or they would really be tripping over their own feet, and you could just never, you know. But I guess that's kind of us, too. It's weird. It is a strange matchup.
I think, again, the other thing we talked about this last week is, we had a bye week, we're rested, and they're coming off a tough physical loss at Starkville.
Yeah.
You know, where they got pushed around, especially the Mississippi State defense pushed them around and beat them up offensively. So I think they got a lot of banged up, bruised guys on offense, and they got to go back out there and face our defense. So I feel like that puts us in a pretty good spot.
What do you think about special teams? Will we finally get Anders Carlson's head on square now, or have we ruined him?
Well, I think it's just a matter of not putting him in bad positions.
Yeah.
I think this is – I mean, again, this is a game with the top two punters in the SEC. A&M's punter is number one in the country in yards per punt. He's the first guy in the last – I don't even know how long. It's averaging over 50 yards a punt.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So, I mean, our guy is in the, you know, right there. He's averaging like 45 or something. So, Sipos has been really good. I think people don't appreciate how much better he is. We're number one in the SEC at average starting field position on offense. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, a good defense and good, you know, net punting and stuff. So, sure. I think good special teams. There's been a lot of special teams plays in this series, block kicks. You know, kick returns, yes, that kind of stuff. So it could be something that happens this weekend. It could be a game where they play good defense against us, we play good defense against them, and the two punters are trying to, you know, we're trying to pin each other back and forth in a field position kind of thing. I could see some of that.
Maybe this would be a good weekend to really go after the punter. I mean, if you know he's going to be able to do that kind of damage to you, why not just roll the dice out there and go after him? I mean, you know, if he's got that big of a cannon on his, you know, for a leg, just sort of nullify that at the point of attack. Just
put a lot of pressure on him and make him rush it and that kind of stuff. At least. Yeah, I get that.
Absolutely. Why not? Sure. Okay. So that's 11 o'clock, the traditional Jefferson Pilot game. It's just one of those things where at least it won't be 120 degrees, presumably, but we just never seem to do. I'd like to see some numbers. I can't remember what the name of our friend is on Twitter that does all these numbers about everything. There's two or three guys that do stuff like this. But I'd like to know our all-time record in the last, like, or at least our record in the last 20 years or something on our record on, like, 11 o'clock home games. It can't be great.
It certainly never doesn't seem great.
No. I mean, we probably forget the ones that are blowouts, like when we play Vanderbilt or something. But it seems like whenever we play a meaningful, really meaningful game at 11 o'clock on Saturday at home, bad things usually happen. It usually involves like Arkansas killing us or, you know, something like that. So, well, anyway, let me see. Well, before we get into our patrons, I want to point out that the author of the White Rocket book, Lorendo, the book about our former offensive coordinator, the amazing, fantastic, fascinating character, Coach Lorendo, the person that wrote the book about him is John's dad, Ken Ringer, and Ken Ringer will be at Auburn University Bookstore doing a book signing immediately following the game. So since the game starts at 11, we're thinking probably around 3 o'clock, somewhere right between there, about 3 to 5, uh-huh. He should be there. And who else is going to be there?
Jim Dozier, who ran track at Auburn, was a Navy pilot, a Delta pilot, will be at the table, and he'll be signing his book also. And his book is titled Back Two-Thirds.
Okay. So, yeah, a good opportunity if you're in Auburn, go by AU Bookstore after the game, pick up your various Auburn paraphernalia and whatnot, and also go over and say hello to Ken Ringer, pick up a copy of Lorendo if you don't have it, check out Jim Dozier's book. It sounds awesome. There are awesome people there. They were so kind to John and me when we did our book signing there back at the Arkansas game. And I hope the game comes out well and you have a nice crowd for your dad there. That would be awesome. Let me click this little background button here so that we can do some patrons thanking. Because we have... I got to push a couple of buttons here. Our show is made possible by our great patrons on Patreon.com. For as little as a dollar a month, keep us on the air, pay our bills, and keep us cranking out these shows for you, including our new show that we'll talk about in a second, which is We Believed, a documentary series. The first episode went up for patrons on the Patreon site on Friday and will be coming out to the rest of you soon enough. And I'm working on putting together episode 2. So let me thank those who support us already. Of course, Brendan O'Dwyer. And then Christopher Burleson, Joseph Fine, and Brenda Sisson. Phil Amthor. Susan Trawick, Ben Spooner. Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher. Justin Bean, Steve Trawick, Richard Stevens. Reynolds Wolf, Joshua Corbett. Valiant Hermes, Jacob and Robin Fleming. And Clay Henson. And I messed up the button. There we go. Auburn Tiger Talk, Ann Kangian, Catherine England, George Gaston, Will Summerford, John McCune, Tom Anderson, David Evers, Andrew Barber, Timothy, Steve Harlan, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Rich Reimer, Jared Albrick, William Glenn Matthews, Joel Beckham, Taylor, David Hegler, Mickey B, Hugh Anderson, Shane Bailey, Matt Robinheimer, Mick Vigicana, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, Tony Perry, Alex Wynn, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Earl Ricks, Mike Finley, C.T. Wayne, Dave Powell, Ronald McCullum, Chris Camo, Darren Pyle, Chris, Wardam Wade, Jason Albrick, Randall Walker, Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Russell Milling, Matthew Wagstaff, Joey Miller, Mark Squire, Dave Medinas, Spanky, Brent Rumble, J.W. Rice, Michael Morton, Lawrence Kane, Surfer Chickify, and other one-time anonymous donors. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. Let's see. Yeah, I did want to mention really quickly, I knew we had it on our outline, but I can't find it. But we have our new show, right?
I'm excited about our new podcast series, looking forward to it. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, I posted the first episode up on the Patreon site because I felt like the patrons deserve, you know, for all that they do, they deserve the first crack at it. And I'm going ahead and putting episode 2 together, and then we'll roll that one out pretty soon. And I was trying to get I want to go ahead and announce this. We were trying to get your dad on because I know he has some good insights about some of the earlier days that you and I don't even remember. We've had technical difficulties that have kept us from doing that. So what I'm thinking about doing now is just having a special episode in between episodes where we'll just have like an interview with him talking about it. that way we can keep things moving without having to, you know, try to figure out the technical issues, but we'll get him on. And I think people would love just to hear him, you know, just talk about all that stuff that we've just have alluded to peripherally, you know. So we're going to do that one of these days soon. But the first episode is out. It's called 60 Minutes, which is 1975 to 1981, from Suge to Barfield to Die. And so look for that soon in our regular AU Wishbone stream. Now we have our special interview of the week. I was able a couple of days ago to span the Atlantic and have a nice conversation with the one, well, not the one and only D Ford, but one of the two D Fords. And this would this would not be the U.S. office D Ford. This would be the UK office D Ford, right? This is the, I told her, you'll see. I don't want to give it away. But anyway, D came on to talk about the whole phenomenon around people thinking that she's the football player. And really what's much more awesome about it is how she's become a big Auburn fan and part of the family as a result of that. You know, how it happened is almost at this point inconsequential to the fact that this, you know, sort of random person has embraced the Auburn family and has been embraced by the Auburn family and is even coming over for a game soon. So let us go now to the interview with the lovely and fascinating D Ford. So I'm very excited now to welcome to the AU Wishbone Show the one and only, actually not one and only, but one of two, but the important one today, D Ford. Not the NFL D Ford, the UK D Ford. It's kind of like with TV shows like The Office. You're not the Steve Carell D Ford, you're the Ricky Gervais D Ford. How are you today, D?
I'm fine, thank you.
It's great to have you on the Wishbone. And I was very much looking forward to it because I've obviously known you on Twitter for quite a long time now. The time just goes by.
Yeah.
And you've been associated with the Auburn crowd for quite a while. And I just thought we need to get you on and let you talk a little bit to our listeners that may not know your whole deal. So before we do anything else, for those that don't know the story, fill in our listeners about how you came to be associated with Auburn, being a building surveyor in England.
Well, I had a Twitter handle for about a year before all this kicked off, and I didn't really use it much, but it was always on my phone, and I started to get strange messages from people in America talking about American football. And I knew absolutely nothing about it, so I just tweeted back that I don't think you've got the right person. And no one seemed to believe a word I said. And it didn't matter how many times I said it's not me, they kept on and on and on. And it got an awful lot worse when D Ford was playing for Auburn and was awarded MVP. And Jay Jacobs congratulated him using my Twitter handle, not D's Twitter handle, in the middle of the night. And my phone went absolutely crazy. And at 2, 3 a.m. in the morning, it just kept on bleeping at me. And I thought there's something wrong. And I kept arguing with people that it wasn't me. And in the end, the comments got so stupid that I thought all I can do is be sarcastic. So I started replying and messing around with people and thought, if they think it's me, well, who cares? And it just became funnier and funnier the more people thought that I was him and not me. Eventually people started to realise it wasn't, but played along with the joke. And long story short, I've made a lot of friends out of it, and now I like American football.
There you go. Well, I was going to say, at some point you had to actually kind of find out what, not just about American football, but at some point you had to find out what exactly Auburn was, right? And I mean, because I'm sure my wife is from Illinois and she had never heard of Auburn when we got married about 10 years ago. So at some point you had to like go out and do a little research, right? Or did somebody sit down and kind of explain this is what Auburn is and this is why these people are so crazy?
Well, I didn't know anything about American football, let alone how crazy college football was. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of Auburn. I've heard of Alabama, but mm-hmm. never Auburn. So when I found out who D played for, I did a bit of Googling and had a bit of research that way, but it meant nothing to me. people would talk in technical language about how the football is actually played. And the terminology is just completely alien to me. So I had to literally start from scratch, and people have been really, really kind and explained all about Auburn and how everybody is a family and how the university is the centre of Auburn and how it was created. So everyone's been really great and sort of helped me along with all sort of snippets of information to try and get me to understand a little bit more and more about what it's all about.
That's great. I imagine that, like, it's I imagine that, like, somewhere in this country there's some guy like in Arkansas named Wayne Rooney that gets random texts about when Manchester United or whoever, you know, would do something big back in the day. So it's really fascinating. And I believe that after all that, Jay Jacobs ended up sending you some Auburn clothing, some gear and stuff, right?
He did. He apologized, and Dee Ford contacted me and said, "Oh, you know, it's really great that everybody's been really nice." And Jay did send me a whole package of shirts from the university. So yeah, so that was really good of him.
And then you actually ended up having lunch with him or something later?
Yeah, he came to England this year. Mm-hmm. And a few days before he was due to fly to England, he was meeting his daughter who was doing a European tour.
Ah.
And he messaged me and said that he was going to be in London and was there any chance that I would also be around. So we met up in London and we had a drink in a pub.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
And it was great. Absolutely great. He and his daughter Megan are just fantastic and really nice, genuine people. And, you know, hopefully I'll meet again.
Yeah, that's really cool. So I've got to ask you, do you ever get the chance to war eagle anybody over there? I mean, do you ever run into other Auburn people or maybe Alabama people in England?
It's never happened. And I'm really disappointed that it's never happened, because I see when people from Auburn come over here, mm-hmm. they'll tweet out and say, "Oh, somebody said war eagle to me in the airport mm-hmm. or in the middle of London." And I wear my T-shirts in London, or I wear my orange and blue scarf, and not one single person has ever said war eagle to me. And I'm just desperate for it to happen.
Isn't that funny? I would have absolutely bet anything that at some point you would have run into somebody.
No, not at all. Not one. And I see Americans sort of sitting on trains and things when I go up to London, and I always listen to their accent and think, is this an Alabama accent? And what colours are they wearing? Because mm-hmm. they must be, there's got to be somebody from Auburn or at least from Alabama. And I've never seen anybody that is even remotely like that.
I guess. Well, go ahead.
Go on. I was going to say, I did see a lady who went to Crufts Dog Show one year, and she was a visitor from America, and she was wearing a navy and orange scarf, and I couldn't actually get over to talk to her because it was so busy. And I did eventually manage to ask someone that knew her, and she was a visitor and she was an Auburn supporter, but I didn't actually get to meet her.
Oh wow.
And that was my only clue.
That's funny. I was gonna say, I guess that not meeting any other Auburn people, the good side of that is you haven't had to deal with any Alabama people.
That's very true. I've never had a roll tied either.
Oh Lord, yeah, you're better off for that. Trust me.
I think so. I don't know how I'd react if someone said that to me. Actually, I think I would probably run away,
scream and run. Go for the police. There's hardly anywhere I go ever. I mean, I stopped at a lonely gas station off the highway in the middle of rural Illinois, you know, a while back, and the other car had a big Alabama sticker on the back. I'm like, you got to be kidding! They're everywhere. So it's amazing to me that you haven't run into them, because they're even more widespread than we are.
No, they're not coming over here, obviously.
What is your favorite thing about being part of the Auburn family now and dealing with it and everything?
I absolutely love how everybody has completely embraced the whole situation. Mm. And you see an awful lot of things on Twitter that is really nasty, and people are people are really taking the mickey out of and say horrible things. And that's never once happened. I've never had anybody be horrible. And I have genuinely met, both in person and online, some really lovely people who have been extremely generous.
That's awesome.
And I think that's the whole thing. The family really is a true thing.
It really is. I mean, and a lot of university communities, it's more of almost like a business relationship. You go, you get your degree, you know, maybe you send some money back or something. Maybe you go attend a game. But it is, Auburn has got like this sort of a family nature to it. And it, I think that part of it probably is because we have such a big rival right across the state. It almost makes you cling together more. Do you get that sense from what you've dealt with?
Yeah, definitely. Everybody will support everybody else. Yeah, I definitely get a sense of that.
Yeah. So you're going to actually be visiting Auburn.
I am.
So tell us about that.
Well, I am flying out on the 15th of November. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be coming to the Liberty game.
All right.
So I'm going to spend a few days in Auburn seeing the sights. Already got some meetings planned with people. So, people keep sending me tweets saying, are you going to be around? Can we meet up? So, we've got a lemonade planned in Tumas to start with.
There you go.
So, yeah, it's all sounding good.
I was going to say, when I heard that you were coming and you're coming to Liberty, I said, well, you certainly picked the right game to come to. The way things are going this year, you virtually have no chance of being disappointed.
Well, my one aim is to come and roll the Oaks. And if I don't get to roll the Oaks, I'm going to be extremely disappointed. And the other game I could have got to was, of course, playing Alabama.
Oh,
but the game's in Tuscaloosa, and everybody said to me, you really don't want to do that. That's not really the first place to go to when you fly to Alabama. So I've chickened out of that one.
Yeah, that was probably a good move all the way around in every possible way. I think you made a good choice there. So, that's great. So you'll be coming in and going to Tumors. Well, it's funny because John and I, my podcast partner, we know he lives in Virginia. I live in Illinois. So we don't get down there very often either. And when we did the show from the Arkansas game in Auburn last month, we had a lot of people wanting us to come by and visit, say hello, have a drink with us, whatever. I can only even imagine what you must be experiencing. Like,
well, there's a lot of people that have invited me to various places. So, I hope it doesn't get too crazy, but it seems quite organized at the moment. And I've been invited to a tailgate, so I know exactly where I'm going to be. So if people want to come over and see me, then I think I'll just stay in one place. And I probably will not remember anybody because it's all just Twitter handles.
Right.
So I probably won't remember anybody's names and they'll have to reintroduce themselves in person. But it should be good fun.
Well, they need to set you – they could have like a chair. It's like you're Auburn royalty from Britain. So they could set you up like a throne and people could come up and bow and you could kind of like give them a blessing or something. And
the university are they've really kindly contacted me and they're offering me a tour of the university.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And they've hired a golf cart, and I said I'm just going to sit on the golf cart and wave like the queen.
There you go. Yeah, do the little wave.
That'll work, won't it?
Be spectacular. Absolutely, that's great. So, so you're going to go. You're going to do a tailgate. You're going to go to the game. You're going to go to get some lemonade. You're going to try to roll the trees. I'm sure that will be able to be happen.
Yeah.
Anything else Auburn related that you're going to be doing on the trip, do you have other stuff going on, or is it just for that?
Apart from shopping, there's not a lot else planned at the moment.
Okay.
I'm visiting some family. I'm meeting my friend Jen that I've met through the Twitter scene, and so we're going to go and have a meal with her family. But it's a bit of an open diary at the moment. I'm flying out to New York after, but that's completely separate. So I've got a couple of days there. But while I'm in Auburn, I'm completely at Jen's disposal and hoping that she can just show me all the sights.
Gotcha. Oh, I'm sure you'll cover everything. So, that's awesome. I'm really excited that you're getting to do that. John and I had so much fun. I wish we could go all the time. So, do your friends and family around you there know about all this? And what do they make of all this, if they do?
Yeah, they all know about it. They all think it's all a bit strange, and everybody has a good laugh. And most people at work know about it, but one of my assistants, she has been on maternity leave and she only came back a short while ago. And I told her I was going on holiday, and she looked at me like I was completely mad because it's the first holiday I've had in 10 years. And then said, well, where are you going? So I said, well, I'm going to Auburn. And she went, all right, why are you going to Auburn? I said, well, I'm going to go to university to see the football game. And she stopped and she said, are you famous? So I said, well, why don't you just Google me and so let me to, see what you think?
Oh, that's awesome.
And so she did. And she thinks it's great.
That is great. That is so great. now, last couple of things.
Yeah.
Lately on Twitter, there's been this conspiracy, this cabal of people that claim that you don't exist. So can you definitively tell us that you do in fact exist?
I definitely exist. And there seems to be, a real conspiracy theory that comes from one KC Chiefs fan who claims that he has spoken to the genuine D-Ford. And he has said that this is a burner account and that I don't exist and it's actually him using a pseudonym. But nope, it's definitely me.
So what's going to be really funny is when Jen and the other Auburn folks welcome you to Auburn and you're a large football player. It's all been a...
yeah. I don't think we can be mistaken somehow.
No. I think it's pretty clear that you do in fact exist. So
I do.
All right, and then lastly, and I really appreciate you taking the time. Hi. Oh,
that's my dog, sorry.
That's a Wordle dog. How long do you think this will all go on, your Auburn celebrity? I mean, how long can we ride this train of fame and glory?
I hope it goes on forever. You know, I've met really great people, and mm-hmm. I really enjoy the football now. So I have no intention of stopping following the football team. So, you know, for as long as everybody wants. Well, I'm sure it'll be long forgotten soon, who D-Ford is and what the confusion was. But I've made great friends out of it, so long may that continue.
Right. So the thing that got you in may fade away, but being in goes on and on. You've actually gotten to see the game. We were talking before about how you have a harder time seeing the games there, right? But you have been able to track down some of them.
Yeah, some of them are shown on TV here, and sometimes we can get an online signal. But it's been really bad this year. I've been able to watch a couple of games on telly, but that's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll let you go handle your critter, but thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. We'll have this on the Monday-Tuesday coming up episode of our show, and I really do appreciate you taking the time to be on.
No problem at all. And I look forward to seeing everybody when I'm there.
All right. Thank you so much. And we'll see you.
All right. Bye-bye. Nice to talk to you. War Eagle.
All right. And we thank once again Dee for coming on. That was awesome. I was afraid that I almost cut her off at the end, but we did get her War Eagle in there. And that's good. And so now I will be pushing this here button right here.
Trip around the FTC.
All right, so last week, Georgia and Florida hung in there for a while, and in the first half, I thought Florida should have been winning that game, but they turned the ball over twice and had like 21 points in shifting of the momentum in a very short period of time.
Yep.
And then in the second half, the wheels just fell off, and the Gators got killed 36-17. What did you think about that game?
I mean, I think it was honestly, like you're saying, it's kind of closer than the score indicated. Yeah. But, and I think it just shows, like, I mean, I think Mullins did a good job, but Florida's got a long way to go, and Georgia's just ahead of them. And I thought Fromm played a good game. Again, Jake Fromm has played two tough road games in his career at Georgia, at Auburn last year and at LSU this year, and he's lost both of them. So he plays another tough road game next week. We'll talk about that in a moment.
We will. That's right. It'll be interesting. So Kentucky beat Missouri. Oh, I saw the end of this game, and I just couldn't believe it. my colleague, my buddy here at the college, is a Kentucky grad and big Kentucky fan, and we text each other some weekends when there's something notable. And I texted him immediately after that, and I texted him, "Holy crap." And he texted me back stuff I can't say on the air. So he was pretty shocked because I told him, I said, that's when you start thinking you have a team of destiny, is when things are not going right and you're on the road and it's looking bad and you still find a way. I mean, you know, they were down like 14-9 with just like a second to go, and they threw a ball in the end zone that was incomplete. But Missouri was called for pass interference. So they put the ball on like the 2-yard line, And then I thought, all right, well, you give it to your great running back, right? And they threw it again and caught it and scored a touchdown and won 15-14. Now, I didn't see the whole game. Was he hurt or something? I didn't see him carry the ball.
Well, number one, the pass interference call was me. So that's the big part of it.
Okay.
You know, for the, at the end of the game, he better mug the guy.
I didn't listen.
It wasn't bad at all.
I didn't listen to any of the talk, so I didn't know what people were saying about it. I just saw that it happened and went with it, you know?
No, their running back, Benny Snell, actually got in an argument on the sideline with Eddie Grand.
Oh, no.
Now the Kentucky offensive coordinator, and they benched him for a while in the game because he was in the doghouse with the coaching staff.
Wow.
And they were like, he's their whole offense. And like, no, you're not playing.
Wow. Good grief. And so was that part of why they were behind 14-9 in the –
Yeah,
it was like 14-3.
Like, that's just how they operate a little bit. Like they, you know, they're a good, really great defensive team. I mean, they are so good defensively.
Yeah.
But you're right. They probably would have had more points if they were giving him the ball 35 times during the game.
Vanderbilt definitively answered the question, who is on the bottom? And that would be Arkansas. 45-31.
Vanderbilt scored 45 in an SEC game. How bad are you, Arkansas?
SEC West team. Look, you know what? You know what, Arkansas? I'm going to tell you this. If you can lose to Vanderbilt 45-31, I'm going to make a special injunction, a special exception. Arkansas, go ahead and schedule a road trip to a non-Power 5 team next year. Go ahead and do that. That's fine. I mean, at this point, we couldn't think any less of you. So just go ahead and play, you know, at Utah State or something, Arkansas. That's fine.
I just feel like the rest of the SEC West team should be walking behind them and going, shame.
Yes.
Shame.
They have to walk naked through the Red Keep, through the city. Oh, God. Mississippi State, we talked about, beat Texas A&M 28-13. You had to feel, I mean, weren't we kind of happy about that in a way, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, I think so.
I don't have any reason to feel bad about it. South Carolina, Tennessee was about as close as I figured it would be, 27-24. So
I want to go back to A&M for 1 minute.
Yeah,
I just want to point this out against decent teams. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, against Mississippi State, they scored 13. Against Kentucky, they scored 14. Against some other teams, they scored about that many points. I'm just going to say, like, their offense hasn't exactly lit up a lot of teams.
No. No, we got a chance. We just have to have our offense do its part and keep the defense off the field, and we'll see. I think it's all just going to come down to that offensive line and be able to at least pass protect or call some non-brain-dead plays or just get something. We just got to get something going on offense. That will make the whole difference in that game. Next week, the big one. See, this was a tragedy in my house. Well, not a tragedy, but it wasn't good. I had planned my whole day around watching Alabama-LSU on Saturday night. And I thought as soon as that Florida-Georgia game was over, we'd get the doubleheader and we'd go into Bama-LSU. And I'm watching the Florida-Georgia game and it says next week. And I'm like, wait, next week? Because I seriously thought Alabama-LSU was this week. And I was so aggravated. I'm like, come on. I was planning on this being my Saturday. So I ended up not, obviously, watching Alabama at LSU. But does LSU have a chance here? Do they have a defensive puncher's chance?
Yes. Again, the Alabama has been excellent this year. The quarterback's been excellent.
Really has.
Who's the – But so he started the second half of the national title game, and he started for this season.
Yep.
What's the toughest road game he's started, Van?
The toughest road game that
that Tua has played in his extensive Alabama career. Would that be Fayetteville?
Wow.
Or would it be Knoxville? Again, you know, a game against this.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or Oxford, Mississippi. So, I'm going to say the same thing that I said about Jake Fromm. It's all great. He's wonderful. Alabama's an excellent team, and they're probably going to make the playoff. But playing on the road against good teams in tough stadiums is different. and it's at night in LSU when weird stuff happens. And I think Alabama's probably going to win, but I think they're going to win, and it's going to be like, you know, 24-17 or something like that.
Will the magic be back?
I mean, I think the magic's going to keep LSU in the game.
Yeah.
So the question is not, you know, the question is, can LSU's offense do any freaking thing to keep them in this game? Because I worry more about them against Alabama's defense than I worry about LSU's defense against Alabama's offense.
Where do you see the scoring range in this game?
I mean, I think like 24-17 Alabama, something like that. I mean, the spread is Alabama by like 15.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Vegas thinks it's going to be like, you know, whatever, 35-20 or.
Yeah, that's 31-17 sounds about right to me, Alabama.
Okay.
Which, yeah, that would not.
Again, LSU has a lot of NFL talent, an excellent defensive coordinator. It's at night. It's going to be crazy there.
Yeah,
I think they can hang around.
They will, at least for a while. Georgia at Kentucky.
My cold, dead hands. Lock of the week.
Team of destiny, John. Team of destiny. Team of destiny. The Kentucky Wildcats.
The Milecats?
My cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week. Locking up Kentucky Wildcats against Georgia.
I love it. I mean, again, Kentucky's defense is, I'm going to say this, they're much better than Florida's defense was.
Yeah.
And Fromm hasn't played in a lot of tough, brutal road games. This is going to be a lot like going to that LSU game that he was really bad on the road in.
Yep.
And... you know, the difference is, I think, you know, Kentucky has to do something on offense besides run Benny Snell, because I think Georgia will be able to stop that.
But they threw the ball fairly effectively at the end against Missouri.
I know, but that's Missouri. So
well,
I think
that's true. I feel like Kentucky was maybe looking ahead to Georgia, and they let Missouri almost get them. But they didn't, and that's the sign of a good team, is that however they did it, they did it.
Here's your stat of the week, okay?
All right.
Kentucky is 5-1 in the SEC right now. They have not finished above 500 in conference play since 1977.
I don't have facts to back this up.
Well, you do, though, see? You do. You backed it up. That's remarkable. Yeah.
Here's the TV plan for Saturday. Just black the whole day out. Back up the truck with the snacks and beverages, whatever you need. Auburn A&M at noon.
Yep.
In the afternoon, the 3:30 slot, you got Georgia, Kentucky. And I think like during that same time slot, you got like Penn State, Michigan, a couple other games. And then at night, you got LSU, Alabama.
And I say you.
Yeah, that's going to be something, all right. We haven't talked about South Carolina Ole Miss, mainly because nobody cares. Missouri at Florida, again, I mean, Florida's done now, right? They teased us a little bit. So those are two other SEC games also being played. But, I mean, I think I don't know who wins either one of them and, frankly, don't much care. You have any thoughts on Carolina Ole Miss or Missouri Florida?
I like the home teams of both them, Ole Miss and Florida.
Yeah, yeah. Ole Miss, if they can score enough points, as usual, it's the same story. La Tech gets sacrificed at Mississippi State, who continues on. And UNC Charlotte, so Tennessee will pick up a nice win there, hopefully. So that's good.
I don't know about a nice win, but
well,
a win.
They should come out a little bit ahead. All right, well, this was a nice, decent little show. We had our interview with Dee. We talked about Texas A&M a little bit, looked ahead to the SEC, and now I'm going to go join my wife because we have to...
The Vulgars are full of sound and fury, but believe me, they would not dare take things further.
Ah, we have to go watch Poldark. Any final thoughts?
We made it a month without a Poldark reference.
We did, but there it is. There it is. I know the listeners need us, but...
But James, I need you.
So does England.
So does England.
Yeah, so any last thoughts?
This weekend is about paying back Jimbo. Remember that.
That's right. It's Jimbo Watch 28. Jimbo Watch 2018. That's going to be fun. It's going to be good. And we need to break that streak.
That's right.
Make it two in a row and get a home win in this series for the first time. I'd like us to do it before they do it, you know?
Amen to that.
All right. We'll check those games out, and we'll be back here next week to talk about Auburn A&M and to look ahead, I guess, to give us liberty or give us death, right? It'll be the beginnings next week of Liberty Hate Week.
Liberty Hate Week 2018.
Wait. I think you're incorrect, sir.
Oh, am I? Oh, is it Georgia after that?
It's Georgia and then Liberty, sir.
All right. Once we beat, once we get Georgia out of the way, once we take care of Georgia, then, John, it's
Liberty Hate Week 2018.
All right. Let's wrap
up. Go ahead. You built that up.
I built it up big. I thought it was going to be our only chance for a win the rest of the year. I have a little more optimism now. All right. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
So what becomes of
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Liberty Hate Week 2018.
Go to bed.